Each Tuesday this month, NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg is talking about money with people who've made it and lost it. Today, she speaks with real estate developer David Carley, who went from billionaire to bankruptcy.
The Carley Capital Group put together real estate deals people said were impossible. A federal plaza in a Milwaukee area where there'd never been office buildings, mixed-use middle-income housing in Madison, early fusions of public and private money for government buildings, college and university research parks, homes for the elderly, hotels, malls, condos all across the U.S. and in Asia, too. David Carley, 73 now, loved defying the doomsayers, putting deals together. He loved the energy. He'd been active in politics early on, ran for lieutenant governor of Wisconsin, then for governor twice. He lost all those forays, but he was a winner at real estate development until the 1986 Tax Reform Act removed tax advantages that helped fuel his projects. David Carley found himself overextended and undercapitalized. Against the advice of lawyers and bankers, Carley put off filing for bankruptcy until it was too late to protect his interests. Once he did file, his personal debt was $80 million. Now, 13 years later, David Carley says the toughest thing about losing that kind of money was the loss of certain kinds of freedom.
To negotiate, to manipulate, to entice other people to join you, to be able to dream as big a dream as you'd like to do if you're doing a major downtown development. You walk in the door, and if you're carrying money, so to speak, it enables you to do an awful lot of things that otherwise you can't even get into.
Essentially what you're saying, what you had to do was downsize your ambition. That's what it sounds like the toughest part was.
That's right. In my dreams and in my fantasy and so on, I've never really downsized my fantasies, except I should have done a much better job. We either weren't smart enough or tough enough or experienced enough to do that and didn't do it.
What you loved was the action. It was making the deal. How come it wasn't about money?
Well, I grew up without money. I was born in 1928 and wasn't very many years till the Depression hit full scale in Detroit, Michigan, and in inner city, and immigrant parents, and not many people that we knew had any money. So the concept of money in terms of what you could do with it, a history of money, of using it and experiencing it was foreign to me.
Talking about your father, he was born in Sweden. Your mother was Canadian. Your dad was an electrician. And at some point during the Depression, they became cook and butler to a very wealthy family in the area. But I understand that your father thought that making money was evil.
Well, my father is an evangelical Christian, felt that making money, probably just as the Bible says, was a relatively improper thing. As a matter of fact, most of the people that he knew that had money, he thought, didn't use it correctly. And that's what we grew up with, and I'm sure I carried that a long time, and perhaps when we really did start making, I mean big money, when we were involved in hundreds of millions of dollars of development, we didn't always tell him what we were doing.
When it all fell apart, Mr. Carley, what did you lose?
Lost everything. I lost a home, took my car, took what pieces of art and sculpture that I'd had. And as a matter of fact, they really threatened to take my most prized possession, really, were books, and still are books. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we'll take all your books. And I said, what will you get for them? How will you sell them? They said, well, we'll just put them in boxes and take them down to somebody who'll probably give us $10 for a box of books. I said, well, you take them, but I'll give you $10 a box of books. Mm. I had two homes and lost them both and went down to a zero account. Mm.
What did you do the day after you filed for Chapter 11?
Went looking for a job. My father used to say the best-dressed man on the street is out looking for a job. Well, I dressed up and went out looking for a job, and within a month or two, had three or four consultancies, and that's what's happened to me the last 10 years, which have been very interesting and fruitful. Hmm. Different life entirely, but interesting.
Yeah. What do you think the lessons are for the rest of us, from your experience, Mr. Carley?
Pay much more attention to what's coming in and what's going out than I did. In spite of the excitement and the sexiness of doing a deal, you really, really have to pay some attention, a lot of attention, to your ledger sheets and what you're doing and how you're doing it. And I didn't do anywhere near as much of that. And the other thing is not being as ambitious. No matter how much you want to do, you can't do it all. And I'd leave one meeting in the morning and attend a lunch and start up a new kind of a project. And before dinner, I'd probably do one more or two more.
Oof.
And there are lots of weeks in traveling and be gone 3 days and come home with 10 different projects to look at and work over.
Boy, I can see how exhilarating that would have been, though.
There's an old line a friend of mine quoted in Fortune magazine years ago, and he told me later he was thinking about me when he said this, but he said, you ought to be a Developers Anonymous, that you can be called in the middle of the night. You can call somebody, Developers Anonymous, and say, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go into that project.
David Carley says he's glad he never took money from private investors, although lots of people wanted to get in on the high times. Carley doesn't think much about money these days, he says, but he gives talks and courses on business and does consulting. He's moving from Philadelphia to Charlottesville soon. At 73, he says he needs one last adventure and more elbow room. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.